Moral Revolution community, welcome back to our podcast. I'm so glad you joined us today. We're going to dive into all things God's design for healthy sexuality. Let's talk about it. Hey, let's talk about it, listeners. We are so excited for today because we are answering the questions that you asked. So some of you might have seen on social media, we said we are going to interview a Christian sexologist. What would you want to ask? And we had questions flooded in. So
yeah, a ton of questions. We've been married for 16 years. Our sex life is awesome, but we wanted to bring in somebody that actually has dedicated their entire life to this. You guys have heard from them before. We've had them a ton of times. The Hills, Dr. Glenn, Phyllis, we're so thankful. We just love the partnership with you guys. We love that you share your wisdom with so many people. Yeah. So thank you for diving into these questions. Really, basically, you're going to say everything that we experience in our perfect marriage. We just needed them all to believe it by bringing in a professional, which is what you're here for. So thank you.
Wow.
Cool. Love it.
Wow. Thank you, guys. Yes. Thank you so much. And, you know, we love talking about this. A lot of times it's because we hear that this is still a taboo subject.
Yep.
And that, where do you go to ask these questions? Where do you go to have these conversations? So thank you guys with Moral Revolution for having us and for just making this happen. And even having your listeners, giving them the opportunity to ask anything they want. So yeah we're
so
excited.
Well, I just love it because it's not always possible. I would rather say it's uncommon that we could be interviewing somebody that I literally can't offend. And so that's another part that's just exciting. Like, I can't offend you. You can't offend me. We're just all are very open. And I just, exactly. The church needs this. So we're going to jump in because we have a ton of questions.
Yes. But first, just in case you haven't seen Dr. Glenn and Phyllis Hill yet on our podcast or YouTube channel, they are the founders of Connection Codes. You can look them up. And at the very end of this episode, they have a special gift for you. So make sure you stay till the end to hear about that.
Yeah, my wife is so much better than the details. I'm ready to just talk about the insertion, and she makes sure we got the details covered.
Yes. Okay, let's go with the first one.
Yeah, so first question, what the heck is a sexologist?
Well, a sexologist is basically the huge umbrella that covers everything that has to do with sex. And it's a vast arena. And so I'm also a sex therapist. But a sex therapist is one small column of sexology. So basically anything that has to do with sexuality.
I mean, there's so many more questions there. So, you know, I think for, and I guess to even frame it a little bit, you guys know this, this isn't something that you're unaware of. We see this on a regular basis when we travel. I don't want to make a big blanket statement, but I will because I feel like there's truth to it. I would say that sex inside of Christian marriages is not thriving and strong for the most part from what we hear and what we experience on a regular basis. A lot of people don't know where to go, what to do, how to deal with their past, how to work on their present, how to be connected, all of those things. What would you say a sexologist or a sex therapist does for those people that are like, we're trying to find solutions? How does what you do bring them, you know, get them dislodged or break out of their cycle or whatever it is, wherever they're at?
Yeah. Well, first of all, the big difference between sexology and a sex therapist is sex therapy, and this will annoy some of my colleagues, but sex therapy mostly approaches things from an unhealth perspective. That the fact that Caitlin and Cole want to be involved sexually a lot and just have fun together probably means that there's something unhealthy and we need to diagnose and figure out what's wrong with them, that they're having this craving, this interest. Sexology approaches things from a very health perspective. And that's not to say that it's always balanced by any means, but has much more of a positive health perspective from the very beginning of it. So, but let me just say real quickly what you're talking about, Cole, because this is very much our passion to see this shifted in our culture. And our perspective is that the people of the light exit almost everything. We've done this for centuries. If it's art, if it's music, if it's Hollywood, if it's sexuality, we exit all the good stuff. Wow. And then we go, look, there's only people of the darkness that are doing that. Well, yes, it's all the people of the light left. So by definition, it's only people of the dark. And then we complain about it. We say it's not fair. It's not right. We're friends with the Irwin brothers that have revolutionized Christian movie making, which I think is spectacular. Anyway, that's part of our dream, is to get into this area. And I'm not mad at anybody. Anybody wants to talk about sex, great with me. But we, you know, people of faith have to become verbal and vocal in this. And to be able to do that, Phyllis and Glenn have to actually have great sexual connection. If we don't, and that's one of the reasons that the people of faith are so silent on this issue, is because they don't have great sexual connection. So you can't teach what you don't know. You can't lead where you don't go. So we're just pretty much silent about it most of the time.
Which is why the four of us have a lot to teach on this subject, you know, because there's, anyways, we'll save that for later. Okay, so, you know, breaking it down into, like, just even for the couple, you know, moving on to this second question here, how, and I think this is pretty common, I feel like I get this question a ton, don't you think, babe?
Yeah, definitely.
You know, how do you make sex less mechanical and more intimate? And I think that we saw that even in our early marriage, where it was, there was an obligation to sex, like, oh, we're supposed to be having it. So we were kind of making ourselves do things that, I, looking back, I'm like, I don't even know what I was doing. Like, I didn't know where even to put my knees, let alone, like, there's a lot, the motion, and there was so much I didn't know. And it because of it, then it created pressure. And then it did become very mechanical, very almost transactional. Mm-hmm. Where there wasn't connection apart, it became a transaction. And then it was a lot of times a transaction where what we bought, we felt like the product we got for what we paid wasn't great. Yeah. And so how do we process that too? Like, where's that mechanical intimate balance?
Well, you know, for the listeners that don't know our story, we've been married now 40 years this July. So we've just celebrated, we're celebrating our 40th. And, you know, our beginnings were pretty rough, and our story is out there. I mean, we've got a podcast, we have a book. I mean, you can get our story. And one of the things that we learned over time is that you got to have emotional connection to have great sexual connection. And, you know, it is an arena that I think so many of us have been educated very, very poorly. And so we kind of think that what we see in Hollywood, you know, in just, we're not talking a porn movie. We're talking just everything that's romantic. Any romantic movie, we see that it all just flows so beautifully. And there's always the perfect music and the perfect scene and a clean, beautiful room. And, you know, and it's like, that's not reality. And so right.
And that's with the couple that met in the bar 20 minutes
ago. Right, right.
Yeah. It's always so funny to me, because we're like, we make sure to have towels next to the bed. That's like, you got to have one there. And they never have a towel in the movie.
Yeah.
And then I'm watching, like, you just rolled into a puddle. Yuck. What were you? That did not happen like that.
And it's like, and even the fact that nobody talks about it, you know, it's just, and it is. I mean, we could talk just about this for hours. The fact that we go into, you know, especially if you have decided to save all of this until marriage, you go into a honeymoon where you're really not prepared and you don't know what you're doing, which is what you just referenced. And so you do think it's all mechanical and that you just have to know, you know, even as far as like coming, you know, we have so many backwards things. You know, we teach about purity so strongly. We teach about, you know, like even being modest. So, you know, there's so much on that end. And then we come into an arena where we all of a sudden are married and we go, okay, now be sexy. And it's like, what? How in the world do I now share my body that I have been protecting all my life? And I've been covering up all my life. And I, of course, it's been hounded that don't touch your own body. So all of this stuff, then all of a sudden on your wedding night, you're supposed to switch that and all of a sudden just be loving it and wild and crazy. And it's very, very complicated to make that switch. And I think that when you have the emotional connection and you know, which is, you know, for those who know about the connection codes, that's why we believe so strongly you got to get that foundation, because when you've got the language, then you can express whatever, the fear, the shame, the sad, the lonely, like you can express it with each other And then you're not just trying to be mechanical, which kind of goes back to the question.
Yeah.
It's not then just mechanical, because you're actually really, truly safe with each other and you're learning. You can, you know, there's a fun, there's a curiosity, like you both want to explore each other's bodies. And there's a curiosity, but there's a safety in that. You're going into a vulnerability like no other.
Yeah.
A vulnerability absolutely. Like you've never had before. And if you're not safe emotionally with each other, to then just think you're going to be safe sexually with each other, that's a jump. That is a jump.
Yeah.
And literally to have the level of safety with each other that you're able to convey in the moment.
Mm.
And literally, she's able to say to him in the moment, "Ooh, I'm feeling some fear." What we call the three phrases. He goes, "Oh, what's happening with fear? What am I missing here? Well, you know, we're kind of doing this sexually, and I just feel fear about this, or I feel shame, or whatever is the authentic self in the moment." And then referencing back to what we said earlier about sex therapy, as a sex therapist, we don't address that at all. Mm-hmm. Sex therapy is all about either sexual dysfunction or simply the act itself, the you know, the activity, it's positions, techniques, etc. And those matter, but that's virtually never the issue. If these two are emotionally safe with each other, they'll figure out what to do with the knees, because they'll be able to laugh together. And let me tell you something, if you're not laughing about sex, you're not trying hard enough. Because sex is funny. And for whoever, but you know, for calls to be able to say, to laugh and go, "Babe, I feel a little shame here because I don't know what to do with my knees. This feels awkward. I don't do this type of thing with any other setting. So I've never done this before. And I feel shame because I'm a little embarrassed and this is awkward and I don't know what to do." And, you know, hopefully Caitlin can gently grin at him and go, "Oh, so what else is happening there?" And literally they'll process that through in 20 seconds.
That's
and they will connect through that experience. They'll connect emotionally. And then they'll be able to figure out the sexual stuff. And as a sexologist, I sit with couples all the time and help them process through what to do with the knees, to figure out positions, technique, etc. But those are really peripheral things. They matter, but they're not the essence of sexual connection.
That's awesome. So good. So I want to give a quick plug to the listeners, because some of you, I know for sure, are listening. You're like, "I've never even known how to talk through my emotions. Like, I throw things, or I go hide, or I go scroll social media. I numb myself." Like, we don't have the language. We were told, "Don't cry, don't do this." So that's what Dr. Glenn and Phyllis Hill are stinking geniuses at. Connection Codes is all about building that better emotional connection. And so they have a foundations course that we went through that is so amazing that will teach you how to do that and give you common language so that you don't, sometimes you just feel stupid. You're like, "I'm supposed to say that like right now? That doesn't make sense." And then you kind of are in that journey together. So I just wanted to plug the foundations course. And then after you go through foundations, you could do their late nights course, which then talks more about sexual connection. So wanted to give that plug there, because if you're like, "Okay, great answers, but how do I do this?" There's so much more behind what Dr. Glenn and Phyllis Hill to teach
connection
us.
Connection codes is how you do it.
Yes,
so
that's the how.
And they're not even paying us to say it. We just believe in it.
Yes,
so there you go.
Yes, it's been life changing. So you mentioned vulnerability, and that I love it. Literally just led into this so beautifully, Phyllis, of just saying we've been taught our whole lives like, no. Like, I can think of distinct moments where even just so many moments where Cole touches me, I'm like, no, because we've been trained to say no, or we've been trained to cover up and not think something. So what does it actually look like to be physically vulnerable?
Yeah, you know, that is, I mean, even that question is a little bit of a jump, because for so many, we don't feel safe, right? And so we have a reaction, which is really the way you just now even brought this up. It's like we have been taught to say no. For many of us, whether, you know, it's not just for females. I mean, but it's like to all of a sudden say yes, and to just, it's very confusing. It's almost like we also think that our sexual desire, our, you know, that we're supposed to be on the same level. So your husband is interested. He's been thinking about you all day, and you have not.
That's always the truth,
too. That's not where your mind is. You know, you've been on task. You've been very, you know, distracted, possibly with children or just
especially
with
the mom.
Yeah, just with everyday stuff.
Do you have cameras in our home, Phyllis?
Huh?
Do you have cameras in our home?
We've stalked you on the internet.
Are you listening to us through our phones?
We know stuff.
But we have enjoyed hanging out with you guys. That has been fun. But, you know, it's like, I think that to be vulnerable in that area, to me, it does take a transition time.
Yeah.
And we were talking with a couple last night, just that, you know, it is, to me, there's a lot of sexual banter that we have during the day with each other. There's a vulnerability there, but it's not, I think we are so awkward too much in this arena that we don't share what's happening in our minds. We don't have the sexual banter freedom. We are awkward about it. And so then it's almost like I, you know, too often a husband will come in and it's like the words that come out of his mouth, it's almost like he's springing it on her. And she's like, whoa, wait a minute. I'm not there. You're there. I'm not there. And so there's this reaction that just shuts it down. Like, and I think even if inside yourself, you're going, I hate when I react this way, but it's that, you know, because we don't know how to have sexual banter during the day or, you know, even at night, it's like we are awkward. And then, you know, there's even that question, well, do you want to have sex tonight? Those are the questions that can just so quickly shut each other down. And, you know, one of the things we teach is even the verbiage of saying, hey, I have so much sexual joy, and to leave that hanging. And so the other person goes, oh, what's happening with that? What's your sexual joy? And to open the door for that conversation and for even being able to just express, you know, what the fantasy is like, oh, I've been thinking about you all day and I can't wait to see you.
Yeah. And there's differences between males and females. It's very dangerous to give these gross generalizations because typically the male has the higher sex drive, not always by any means, but typically does. But whichever way it is, the idea of them matching up perfectly sex drive is ludicrous. There's no way that's going to happen because humans are unique, each one. But it's our theory that sex drive is virtually always either sexual joy or sexual loneliness. And again, connection goes language. If you get this in the foundations, which is incredibly vulnerable for me to be able to say to my partner, I feel loneliness. She, no kidding, does the three phrases. Oh, what's happening with lonely? What am I missing? Well, it's sexual loneliness. She goes, oh, what's happening with that? And I'm able to say to her, well, I just want to have some sexual playtime with you. And, you know, I've missed you. We haven't been able to have time together in whatever, however long it's been. And for her to be safe for me to say that, that's incredibly vulnerable. Yeah. And my theory is, I'm not willing to fight about this, but my theory is that sex in this culture is actually more vulnerable for males than it is for females. And I think it's very vulnerable for both. But we typically tend to think, oh, it's the female. I don't know that that's true. I think it's very, because we're in the James Bond, John Wayne, Clint Eastwood, Bruce Lee culture, where men are supposed to be quote unquote men. And I think we've ruined ourselves. I love James Bond. I've seen every James Bond movie probably three times at least. James Bond is the most miserable person on the planet. I mean, it's a great movie. That's not real. He could not function. He'd be diagnosed with so many psychological disorders. Yeah. I don't know what we'd do with the poor guy. But it looks cool on the big screen and I love it. But it's not real. That's not what actually works. And vulnerability is what actually happens.
Wow.
But Glenn bringing up just the loneliness, I actually most recently, just in the past month, came to Glenn and said, I'm feeling sexual loneliness. And that really stopped him in his tracks because we had been sexually active. So he was like, whoa, what's happening with my girl? What have I missed? And we had a great conversation where I was like, well, I just feel like that we need to slow down. Like I needed to verbalize that. Like there have been too many quickies, almost like you get so good that you forget. And it was a great conversation. And Glenn was just so incredible to go, oh, babe, I'm all here for you. Like, what does this look like for you? And I said, well, I would just love tonight. Can we just start just kind of slow with, you know, like a dinner and then maybe a movie and just kind of making out during the movie. Like, would you lay with me on the couch? And I painted this picture and he loved it. And we both did. I mean, it was great. But when I realized what I was experiencing was, which was sexual loneliness, it was so important for me to be able to communicate that.
And wow. You think about the world, the universe difference between that, whereas if she had said something to me like, I don't like how things have been going sexually between us. Well, that would have been accurate. That would have been totally correct and absolutely wrong. Totally correct information wise. You know, connection coders know logistics don't connect humans. Logistics are real. They exist. They do not connect. Core emotions do. So when she's able to convey to me loneliness, which is sexual loneliness, I am signed up and I'm totally present with her. As a connection coder, hopefully I'd be able to be present with her anyway and follow her energy, be safe for her and find out what's underneath. But it's just so smooth and beautiful when she's able to convey that, hey, I'm experiencing sexual loneliness. She's not trying to feel sexual loneliness. She just does. And as connection coders, you know, we always say, we can tell her to stop it. You know, Phyllis, you stop that. You stop feeling that. Well, she's not trying to feel it. She's just what's firing his brain chemistry, literally. And we can tell her to shut up about it, which is also a horrible idea. Or we can just be present. I can be present with her and just help her process through what's happening with her. And it was so incredibly connecting.
That was so good.
That was amazing.
That was such a good, like, that's a podcast
in
a counseling session in itself, what you guys just shared.
That's amazing. I know.
And, well, let me mention real quickly, because, you know, some people don't know us. We're just pilgrims on the journey. We are so passionate about this in general, but we're so passionate about the connection codes because we live it. Mm-hmm. We are stunned. I'm 60 years old. We've been married 40 years. I can't believe this is real. And we spent the first, it's always so painful to say, but 2 to 3 decades of our marriage being pretty clueless. Mm-hmm. We did not know how to connect. And everybody looked at us and thought we had a great marriage. Well, we had just learned how to not fight. We had a long list of topics we just didn't touch, and sex was basically one of those. So we didn't fight. So everybody's looking at us going, look at that. They have a great marriage. Well, we were good business partners. We were good co-parents, but we kind of weren't really married.
Yeah.
And so we're so passionate about this. We're so lit up about it because we live it. And we're just stunned that this is how life can be, because we remember the pain. We remember the disconnect. And we're like, oh, my gosh, I don't want anybody to have to live through that. It's just so brutal.
Wow.
Well, you're giving us the picture of what to go for, because Phyllis just said, we're so good at sex, sometimes we do it so fast. I mean, I think all of us younger couples would love to be so good at sex that the issue is that it happens too fast for both of us. And, you know, that was just a little moment. Like, it was so small and you went over it. But what I truthfully believe that's such a beautiful celebration of sex in marriage.
Yeah.
40 years. And your subconscious statement was, well, once you've gotten so good at it, you realize sometimes you need to slow down. Man, so that cool. To me, that's hope for people.
Yeah.
Like, hey, that's where we can go for those that have struggled or are in that struggling season. Hey, have that hard conversation that feels unbelievably awkward, unbelievably uncomfortable. But lots of those over a period of time lead to this beautiful picture as we journey together. Mm-hmm. It's really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. And Cole, we say difficult. We don't say hard. Hard reference is something else.
That's fair. Difficult. Yeah, thank you.
I just want to help you out there.
I'll say I don't have a conversation with you where I'm not learning something. So I appreciate the continued education. You're right. Difficult.
I see shining through. I can't
help you. Okay, so this next question that came in from a listener I think is also probably pretty common, because I think it was in so many marriage books and books about sexuality and purity. Kind of even teaching women this. So the question came in, it said, how do I handle feeling pressured to have sex so my husband isn't tempted? So just that narrative of like, you've got to give it to him so he doesn't go
is
somewhere
that
else.
Your it's job your as a wife to make sure your husband's not tempted by having sex with him. You know, I think that's a really good, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I think we could do a whole podcast just on that, because I think that what we have been taught And what we've not been taught is the pleasure aspect of sex for us girls. And that it is like, oh my goodness, if you're going into marriage thinking that this is about him, you have missed the party.
Yeah.
Like, this is so much. You think about the clitoris, let's just jump right there. There is no other function for the clitoris except our pleasure. And you go, oh, wow, what a gift. Thank you. But we're not taught that. I mean, that's our story. Didn't even know I had one. Didn't even know I was supposed to have one. I didn't realize that that and orgasm were this, like, I had no idea when we got married, neither did Glenn. And so we thought that just through penetration, I was going to orgasm and I was going to do it as quickly as he did. So it was a miss. I mean, a miss over and over. And we're like, what? I was broken. That's what we concluded pretty early on in our marriage. And so, wow, there was so much wounding in that and disappointment. And I thought, this is horrible. And then you kind of do have that, well, yeah, this is all about him, so he won't lust or something. And it's like, oh my goodness, you know, that is not a gift. Yeah. And I love that God loves me enough to go, oh, no, I'm not putting that on you at all. This is pleasure for you. This is, you know, it's like a pharmacy. It's a pharmacy. It's an incredible, orgasms are an incredible pharmacy for us women. And, you know, I think, oh my goodness, that is, there's so much fun in that. There's so much joy in that. And it's got to, we've got to shift it. We got to figure out or just even accept that this is supposed to be a party for me. He's invited. He's going to have a great time. Don't get me wrong, but this is a party for me. And so there is no responsibility that I have of, you know, even the phrasing, like, well, you need to meet his needs. I'm sorry. He needs to meet my needs. Like, wait a minute. This is not, we've got it so backwards. And so we, I think, lose ourselves in it as Christian women, where we go, we've missed out on so, so much. And, you know, and I think that we don't even get to know ourselves. We don't get to know our bodies. We don't, you know, even the idea of what's your sexy. I love that. It's like, you got to figure it out for yourself, girl, because what my sexy is not what yours is supposed to be. It's all very individualized. And so it's just, it just changes the whole narrative when we change our mindset and go, oh gosh, this is sex is pleasure for me. Wow. And then you show up very differently. Yeah. And then you're going, you know, it's just interesting that we've ever had that mindset, you know, to, cause we don't put that burden on each other over other things. Like, it's Glenn's job to make sure I don't overeat. It's Glenn's job to make sure I exercise every day. It's Glenn's job. And it would be like, how exhausting would that be?
It is my job to take out the trash. I will say that. So.
We'll have a private session later.
Yeah, thank you.
Let me just mention that real quickly, because that's the Connection Code's fundamental protocol as far as sexuality goes, is that sex is designed as a party for the female and the male is invited. And what we have said for many centuries is that sex is all about the male. It's just time for him to get his rocks off. The female is just supposed to show up, be available, spread her legs, you know, be a sperm receptacle. And so we've missed this. And when sex is focused on the male, it's very, very superficial. When sex is focused on the female, and guys, it's a buy one, get one free ticket. So don't worry, you get invited to the party. But the party is designed around the female. And the male may actually have more fun at the party than the female does. But the party is set up to be designed around her. And when we get that straight, it changes the whole atmosphere. But again, there has to be a tremendous amount of safety and vulnerability to achieve.
I think, too, it's important to know that, like, I don't want to party every day, right? Like, as in, I mean, my body doesn't even cooperate like that. Where for Glenn, I think he could party every day. And but that's where I love the sexual banter. I love the sexual friendship. And, you know, there are definitely many times where we have that dance that is so fun. And yeah, that, you know, I shared earlier, just when I talked about the sexual loneliness, you know, when it's, like that, I needed it to slow down, right? I needed a special night of just, can we just go really slow? Because we are really good at things going faster. Like, you call them quickies. And, you know, we have a lot of fun with those. There's not a limit on those. And, you know, and I don't ever feel like I'm meeting his need or making sure he's not going to, you know, go after somebody else. There's not that ingredient. So we do, but there's times when my body just doesn't cooperate. Like, yeah, she's not waking up tonight. And, you know, I thought she would. We thought she might. And then it's like, yeah, no. And so, you know, but there's, we want to kind of keep up. Like, if there's a lack of that, we got to tune into each other and go, okay, what's happening there? Like, because there's all, for females especially, if there's a lot of outside stressors, it's really hard to relax enough to get there. And so, you know, we're affected a lot by outside stuff. And there's sometimes you know, you got to almost process all the emotion of the day before you can even let go.
Yeah, I can't have sex. The living room's dirty. How does the living room being dirty impact the party tonight? Why can't we party with a dirty living room?
Right. Exactly. There's so many little factors like that that really are huge.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's who we are. And so you want to make sure that those are you're aware. And you're like, you know, I know when we had the four children at home when they were young, I mean, we set aside one night a week. That was just our, like, we call them sex dates. That was the night. Like, that didn't mean we only had sex once a week, but that was like the night that really was focused on me. And so Glenn would just, after dinner, I was like, done. Like, the kids and Glenn would clean up the dishes after dinner. He would do all the, you know, the normal homework.
My thigh's getting squeezed right now, fellas.
Oh, good, good. Right, you know, he did the bedtime routine. I just disappeared. After dinner, it was my time. It was my time to transition. I remember we lived in a small house, but Glenn had built an incredible master suite, and we had a jacuzzi tub and great bathroom. And I remember I would just love that time. Like, don't read parenting magazine, you know, read, like, it's time
for the child,
you know, it's time to, like, don't do any emails. It was my time to just listen to my favorite music, to have my favorite beverage, my favorite dessert by myself, to, you know, to take a jacuzzi bath. Like, just, I had hours of just me time. And then by the time the kids were asleep and Glenn showed up, oh, I was ready to party. And it didn't take him but a minute to get right there with me. But it was, you know, I think that as women, especially if you've got young children, you need time to transition into being that sexy person. And I think that we too often miss that. And we have a, like, you got to do it all standard. And I think that many husbands just don't understand, and they take it personally. Like, what, don't I turn you on? It's like, it's not personal. It's that we've got to have time to transition, to even be interested in this great party that is all about us.
Yeah. Oh, and summing up the question, you know, and I don't know this couple, obviously, but we'd have to go way back with them, because it's not a matter of just answering the exact question. There's a whole lot of foundational stuff there that they're probably missing.
Yep.
That was so good, though. I mean, what you guys just, even that last part, Phyllis, like, I feel like you just changed my marriage. Thank you. Yes. And I felt like we're already winning. So one of the things that you said, and we actually need to wrap up here, but one of the statement, again, you're just so good with those, like, casual statements that you're just like, okay, the statement of sexual friendship. Man, what a different paradigm that would be for a marriage to think about that, their relationship with their spouse through that. I have a sexual friendship with my wife, with my husband. That changes the way you approach it. I think that changes what you would, just the statement, sexual friendship, does so much in my own brain where I'm like, oh, there's so much health in that. There's so much connection in that statement. There's so much desire to please in that statement. There's so much health in that statement. Sexual friendship, I don't know if you did that on purpose. I don't know if that's something that you guys already, that you do on a regular basis, but man, I felt like that was really significant.
Yeah.
Well, we do teach on that a lot. And you know, you mentioned that we have an e-course, a late night e-course, which we did go back in the studio and redo that. And it's so incredible. And, you know, I think that with sexual friendship, I love that we're ending on that, because, you know, I think about that in just other relationships, friendships, where I love showing up. Like, when a girlfriend reaches out and says, hey, you have time for a coffee? oh my word, I will do everything possible to clear my schedule, to have time with my friend. And I think that when you bring that mentality into your sexual relationship with your spouse, it is so different than you thinking of a duty or thinking of a checklist. Like, oh yeah, we had sex this week, check mark. It's like, wow, I don't want to be in friendships like that. You know, when I have girlfriends that reach out and say, hey,
that's so good,
we are going to go away on a girls trip. To me, there's nothing more exciting, right? When a bunch of girls say, let's go away, let's do a girls trip. Who's in? It's like, everybody's like, I'm in. And it's like, we don't bring that energy into our sexual relationship, but we should. That's where we get to live. We actually get to live there. We get to have those moments where we have that in that sexual friendship. And that even leads to times where you go, let's get away. Can we get a babysitter? Like, 24 hours. There's this new hotel, there's this new restaurant, and you do your, you know, so you bring your sexy to that, right? You wear those heels that you don't normally wear, right? You get that black dress that you love to wear. It's that sexual friendship where you go, absolutely, I want to be there for you in this arena.
Yeah.
And it is a shift. It's a mental shift. But it's so obtainable. And for so many who go, nah, we've already ruined it. Mm. No, you haven't, because we are living testimony of that. Amen. Because our first two decades, I mean, our first decade was horrendous as far as sexual wounding that we had with each other, and so much pain and so much rejection. And to see where we get to live today, everyone should know that there is hope for where you are in your relationship, regardless of your past. We both were sexually abused as kids. We have every story that sets you up for what would be disaster. And yet we get to live what we get to live today because we are emotionally connected. We're safe with each other emotionally, and we're sexually connected.
Yeah. And I have to mention, a couple months or several months ago, Phyllis, she said, we're planning a girls trip with, you know, these different people or favorite people. I said, oh, where are you going? And she goes, I'm not sure. And I said, well, what all are you going to do? Why are you going? And she goes, I don't know. We didn't talk about that. And I'm like, what are you planning a trip? You don't know where it's to or what you're going to do. She's like, well, I don't really care. I'm just going to hang out with, you know, and she listed off people. So it didn't really matter. Well, with our sexual friendship, what are we going to do? We don't know. We're just going to have fun together. You know, what is it going to look like? We're not sure, but we're sexual friends. And as our sexual friendship plays out, who knows? Who knows where we're going? You know, who knows what we're going to do, but we're going to have a lot of fun doing it.
I love
Wow. Well, listeners, I know you guys were, this is such a treat. I feel like we just personally got free therapy. Yeah. You're welcome to all of the Let's Talk About It listeners.
Tell us where to send the check.
I'm like, this was amazing. I'm excited to shout this conversation from the rooftops because I'm like, every single marriage needs to hear this conversation. We're so thankful for who you guys are, what you carry, how transparently you share. Oh, it's just amazing. So we, as promised, there's a gift at the end here. We'll put the link in the show notes. But if you go to connectioncodes.co/ moral revolution, do you guys want to explain what you're going to have there for all the listeners?
Yeah, you actually get to have a live session that we do with a couple that are struggling in their sexual relationship. And so it will be incredible content, but it will be very real, very raw, because it will be with a couple who have who want to be sexually connected in their marriage, but have struggled in that journey.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Amazing.
Well, thank you for two things. Thank you for being so smart. And thank you for having such good sex so you could tell the rest of us how to do it as well. So, I mean, I'm thankful for lots of things with you guys, but those two things
come to mind today.
Right now. Today. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks.
Thank you guys. Love being with you.
Yes.
Thanks. Thank you guys for listening. If you want to learn more and check out all of our awesome content, be sure to head to our website at moralrevolution.com and our socials, Instagram, Facebook, all of them. But before you leave, don't forget to like, review, subscribe, all of the things. We want you guys to come back and join us. We enjoyed having you. See you next time.